morning. It's always great to be able to worship every Sunday and Wednesday with y'all. And I'm always thankful for this opportunity to be able to come up before y'all and to speak to y'all about God's word. And hopefully what I have to say tonight will be glorifying unto God and will allow us to grow closer to God and with one another in Christ. As Christians, our goal is heaven. It is to dwell with God for eternity. And for that reason, we start on a journey to transform ourselves to be presentable and acceptable before God. We change how we live, why we live, what we live for, who we live for. And we also change our mindset and therefore our actions. We put God first and learn to do the things that he wants and desire what he desires. We learn to rely on God because God is holy and pure and righteous and all wise. And us humans are sinners who know how to confuse life really well and make life impure and frustrating for our own profit. And so on our journey of our transformation, this marathon to heaven, we can feel alone at times. And to the point that I think that feeling of separation that we get from living in this world but not being of this world and combined with our own sinful nature can start to affect our relationship with one another in the church. And we start to close off, and we can start to close ourselves off for a variety of reasons with one another, whether it be a pride issue or a trust issue, etc. But the fact is we need each other. We weren't meant to be alone in this physical world. And I believe God understood that and understood the journey that we would take in our transformation and understood that Christians are going to need to rely on each other. Yes, God always comes first. Yes, we will rely on him first. But we are to rely on each other. And so this morning, I'm going to kind of look at how we can rely on each other. And the first thing I want to look at first is how... The first thing I want to look at first. Anyways, the first thing that I want to look at is what... It's how we live in harmony, because we all are very different from one another. And so due to those differences, it can create strife. But when we are able to live in harmony with those differences, we'll see that it'll create a beautiful picture. So the first thing that I want to look at and how we're different is in talents. Ephesians 4 shows one way in how people will have different talents. Ephesians 4, verse 11 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. These are the differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And you can kind of look at the different characters in the Bible and see that each one had different talents. And it might not just only be spiritual talents, but outside of spiritual talents as well. I mean, we see in the Old Testament, you know, in Exodus, he had the skillful workers be the ones to be able to build the stuff that God had commanded them. You know, you had musicians to be able to put together songs that be worthy of praise for God. And so we have a variety of talents. And they can vary from a very noticeable talent to a talent that isn't noticeable at all. And so these talents that we all have, that are all different and at different levels, can maybe sometimes create a strife in our relationship with one another. It can maybe make you feel alone in these gifts. Or, for example, maybe you're the only one who can sing at your church, right? And so now you are dependent upon to lead singing Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And maybe you have multiple talents. Maybe you're the only one that can sing and the only one that can teach. You know, so now you have to teach every class, lead singing every class, and you start to feel dependent upon by the church. But you yourself might think, if I'm the one that's dependent upon with these talents, who am I to depend on? Or maybe you have one of those talents that isn't noticeable and that isn't as visible or as visibly dependent upon in the church and the service, and you might, after time, start to question, well, if I'm not dependent upon like these others, why should I open up myself to my brethren? Why should I lean on my brethren and sisters? And so we can start to close ourselves off from one another by depending on ourselves instead of one another. So we have different talents. We also have different experiences in life, whether it be childhood, education, financially, workplace. I mean, we see this as well in all the characters of the Bible. Paul, Peter, David, Abraham, Apollos. And so depending on yourself, due to these experiences, you might, again, start to rely heavily on yourself instead of these other Christians. You know, maybe you have a doctorate and you've always have challenged yourself with a high level of thinking, and maybe no one else, nobody else with the brethren that you worship with has that high level of thinking to challenge you with. And so you start to rely again upon yourself instead of one another. Or maybe you're financially well off and you're the one that has to do all the support for the church. And so you, again, might start cutting yourself off due to these differences. So you might have, so we all have differences in talents and experiences. But the one, and we also have differences in the understanding of concepts in the Bible. I think this one is actually the one that might be the one that gives us the most trouble with each other. It's easy to look at talents and experiences, and as I talk through those, it's easy to understand that and maybe get to the point where we understand that, yes, these physical talents that are visibly seen and whatnot are to be put aside, and we can see that. But when it comes to understanding of concepts in the Bible, such as love, grace, mercy, encouragement, serving, These are all concepts that all Christians are able to understand, are able to study. And yet, for one reason or another, certain concepts just click with other people better than others. Certain concepts, some people just can understand better than others. And so when you understand a concept better than others, better, and it just clicks with you, that can kind of get frustrating in a way when you see your brother and sisters not acting in the appropriate way that you have learned what is right, that you have learned and studied for yourself. And it can get frustrating and it can get disappointing. Because you're trying to apply this concept to your daily life and you feel like no one else is getting it right. And so you might start to close yourself off again with one another and start depending on yourself heavily. But what happens when we all, with these differences, start to lean on each other, start to use our differences, our different experiences, our different talents, our different understanding of concepts, and being able to put it together in Christ? It brings out this beautiful harmony. And I'm reminded of this, I guess there's this musical concept, I forget what it's called. But it's this idea of when these voices come together in a perfect harmony, it starts to create more tones than what is actually being sung. And so the listener is actually able to hear more notes, more tones than what the voices are actually singing because they are in perfect harmony. But when all of our variety of talents, experiences, and concepts work together and are in harmony, then there's something that is being amplified along with it. And that is the glory of God, the power of God. It's amplified through us when we work and we lean on each other. When the individual who understands concepts better than others continues to lead others an example instead of closing themselves off, it betters the Christians around them. When the individual continues to use his individual talents to the best of their ability, then it helps proper worship. It helps the proper glorifying of God. And when a person who may be going through a rough experience and yet continues to rely on one another, they are exalted and the others are encouraged. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll read verses 10 through 11. As each one has received the gift, minister it to one another, good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We serve others with whatever gift has been given to us by God, so that God may be praised. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read verses 29 through 30. It reads, Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. You know, he asks these series of questions, and to each question, the answer is no. No Christian is self-sufficient, however great their ability or gift is. But one thing that Paul does say is, he says at the end, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Now, he doesn't mention what these best gifts are, but he does exhort them to aspire for them. And we see that God teaches us to do the fullest to our ability. Look at Matthew chapter 25. We'll read verses 14 through 30. It reads, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" So we all have a variety of levels, different levels of talents, experiences, understanding of certain concepts. But we shouldn't, and because of those differences, it can amplify kind of our loneliness in our journey of our transformation to God. But we shouldn't be alone. We should use those gifts, those talents, whatever it may be, to the best of our ability, and they come together as one in Christ, creating that harmony, because God gave each talent, each experience, each understanding to further his work of the glory of God. And so we have to rely on each other, because the glory of God will shine through us with all the talents that he has created in each one of us when we work together. But we also have to rely on one another because of temptations. Go back to Galatians chapter 6. verses 1 through 3. It reads, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." We are to be concerned about the spiritual family and not live in isolation, because we are humans, and even though we have the knowledge of the Word of God, we have the whole book before us to study with, we even are able to have extra materials online and in books to be able to further our studies in the Word of God, yet we still fall short of the glory of God. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. Verses 8 through 10. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 12. It reads, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." The fact is that we're all bound to fall. We're all bound to fall into sin and to fall short of the glory of God. And so we're going to need each other to keep us on the straight and narrow path. And so Paul teaches us to be concerned about a brother in sin. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Read verses 12 through 14. "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Sin is deceitful, and it's what hardens a man's heart. It's what ultimately separates our relationship from God. And so here we see we have to exhort one another daily. We are to lean on each other so that we do not fall into the deceitfulness of sin. If we are spiritual, then we should also look out for one another. Turn to Romans chapter 15, verses 1-3. "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me.'" Turn to John chapter 13, verse 35. It says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." If if our love for one another, our oneness, if our unity cannot be seen with each other, then how are we able to bring about the message of Christ in the world? Christ was about love. You know, God loved us first and gave us the opportunity to be saved through Christ. No matter who the person was, no matter what he had to give in the world, he gave each and every one of us an opportunity to be saved through Christ, even though he knew we would be sinners. And so, if our own brother and sisters can't learn to love one another, can't learn to rely on one another, then how can we spread the message of Christ around the world? So we should lean on each other, because one, we're going to fall into temptation and need each other, need the encouragement from one another, but also because we are spiritual and we are in Christ. Which Paul speaks to in Galatians, back in Galatians chapter 6, when he says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, this isn't the law of Moses. It's Christ's law. We live in Christ to serve God and his desires. And yet, what was the greatest commandment? It was love, right? It was love the Lord. And so, if we love the Lord, we're going to love each other. And we're going to come together in unity. Because we're mutually dependent on each other. But we see this idea of us being a body in Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll read verses 20 through 26. It reads, "But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." We're mutually dependent on each other. You know, I mean, just our physical selves. When one part of the body is sick or ill, the whole body feels ill. It doesn't feel good. In the same way, when one of the members is ill spiritually, all of us should feel that. If we're not treating each other right, the body will be sick. It'll be dying. And so we must work to maintain unity in doctrine and practice. Ephesians 4, verses 2 through 6. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. John chapter 17, verses 20 through 21. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all might be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So we lean on each other because we all have different talents, different experiences, different understandings, and we're able to use that to build each other one, to build one another up, to help us grow closer to God. We need to lean on each other because we're going to fall into sin, and so we need each other to help us, to encourage us to keep going, to keep on that path, our journey. We rely on each other. We love each other because we're following Christ. We are Christ followers. We desire what God desires, and God is of love. And God cares for each one of us. And we're mutually dependent on each other. We are a body. Let's continue reading in Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. And we'll read verses 3 through 5. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. Now, you read these verses, and you read it in contrast to the first two. It kind of sounds like they're contradicting each other, right? You're supposed to bear one another's load, and all of a sudden it says, now bear your own load. What does this mean? And I think this is really kind of where it gets confusing and hard to apply these concepts. Because these aren't contradicting to one another. In fact, these burdens are of different nature. It says, for each one shall bear his own load. At final judgment, in the end, each man is judged individually. It is still up to you to follow through with your faith, to follow through with the word of God, to act upon his desires and his will. But when we understand that, it helps us to understand better how to serve one another, how to share one another's burdens. Because when we remember that all of our goal, all of us are trying to get to heaven, and that ultimately each one of us will be judged, and that ultimately each one of us falls short of that glory of God. And when we understand that, if that's our main goal, and that we understand we need all the help that we can get, and that we are in need of God's grace, then we're better prepared to lean on one another. It's not about comparing one another's works to each other. You know, the self-righteous lifts up self, and finds fault in others. Instead, we use our works to further the glory of God with one another. Because the standard is God's word. And so, when we lean on each other, when we work with one another, we hold each other to the standard of God. Because that's accountable to each and every one of us. And so, I hope the thoughts that I've had this morning helps us to grow closer to one another in Christ. Understanding that, yes, rely on God first to a great extent, but that He created a family on purpose, that we need each other with all of our differences, that He created our differences for a reason, to be used together, so that His glory shines through and that we may help ourselves to transform our lives and helping each other as well. And so if you're here this morning and you realize that you need Christ in your life, you realize that you are lost and in need of saving, and then you must believe, you must repent, must be baptized, you must confess, and then we're all here for you to help you to continue to live faithfully, and that you may help us to continue to live faithfully. Or if you are struggling right now and need the help of one another, then I invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.